Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. An interesting Monday, and I'm kicking off this very interesting Monday with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Before Ed and I get into some of the commentary on the market moves today, I just want to thank everybody for reaching out to me, sending me all your emails, and letting me know what you thought of the different two-hour show last weekend and the direction, at least for another couple weeks, of refocusing back on investing. Investing, and in all fairness, right now, investing is very important because you look at these wild swings that we're seeing in the markets today. Ed, let's start off with U.S. equity markets and this overall news that broke this weekend. We have more clarity on the U.S. election. We have Biden now declared the winner. I don't want to get into all the back and forth and what still might happen before Inauguration Day on January 20th. And we also had COVID news where Pfizer has come out with, it looks like, tests on a vaccine that's 90% effective. It's higher than most people thought was even possible. We still have this moving forward. We don't know how this is all going to play out. But either way, seems like a perfect storm for markets as the Dow is up over 4%. The S&P is up over 2.5%. NASDAQ is really lagging, only up 0.5%. But Ed, start us off there with the developments over the weekend and how this is a perfect storm for moving equity prices higher.
Yes, it's a historic risk-on rally. I think we're seeing investors, they, you know, regardless of the outcome of the election, they just wanted certainty and they wanted to know, have a clear winner, and they wanted to have a strong sense on, you know, what their mandate was going to be and whether or not they would have a Congress that would likely abide by it. And right now what we saw was the election outcome, for the most part, it seems that it's going to provide us with divided Congress, which the Republicans did an amazing job. They really, I think, surprised many with how well they performed in these House races, and more importantly, the Senate. So it looks like they're going to keep control there. And even if they do lose these two runoff races in January in Georgia, and it's 50-50, and, you know, obviously Vice President Harris would get the tie-breaking vote, it's not like we're going to have that blue wave, massive infrastructure spending bills, and all these new clean energy initiatives and higher taxes, because that's not going to happen. Because what we're seeing is there's going to be not just a battle between the moderate Democrats against the Republicans, but the progressives. The Democrats are going to have a lot more in-house fighting and arguing as far as what's the next direction, as far as what to provide for the economy. And I think you're going to see that investors are just pretty much taking it for granted now that we're not going to have any. If we do have a tax increase, it's nothing on what Biden campaigned on. So you really see that there's been a lot of these risk events taken off the table with the election, and then also the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine news really stunned many. I think the overall belief going into this critical stage where we're going to get the results from not just Pfizer, but Moderna and J&J was that we were hoping for an effective rate of maybe 75%. Some were saying we might get only something just above 50%, which is kind of similar to what we see with the flu vaccine. This came in at 90%, and that really was positively received by many people. And I think what you're seeing is you're going to have many people believe that we're going to have pre-pandemic behavior happen a lot sooner, possibly towards the latter part of 2021. Now, there's still, you know, you have to have the public believe in the vaccine, be willing to take it. And I think markets are forward looking and they're going to pretty much believe that's going to be the base case. But for now, you know, we have to remember this is a two-dose vaccine. So they're only going to have 50 million available in 2020 and 1.3 billion in 2021. And you have to remember, what was Pfizer telegraphing before? Well, they were saying we were going to have 100 million by the end of the year. So I think you have to be a little bit cautious as far as the availability for these vaccines, and you know there could be any hiccups in providing them. So you can't just necessarily you know be content that you know this is it. We're going to have a easy path forward. And I think what right now, you know, you have to remember the market is going to be grappling with a very tough couple of quarters, despite all these positive news on the vaccine and election certainty. The U.S. is really in a position where they're starting to see the virus spread is getting out of control. It's accelerating, and what is really the key focal point for many is the record hospitalizations that appear to be happening at the end of the week. So I think you're going to see many investors are going to be expecting, you know, a complete return of lockdowns, and I think right now some scientists are targeting that, you know, we could see hospitalizations triple by the end of the year. So there's a lot of concern in the short term, and I think while you're seeing a lot of these stocks that, you know, were battered because of COVID-19. They're rallying today, but you know there's still going to be a lot of trouble, I think, in these next couple of quarters. And what the big takeaway though is going to be that you're going to have a lot of small businesses struggle, and this is going to be a big problem for the labor market. And this is why you should still anticipate the Fed is going to do more, and is going to be there, and going to be and still, you know, reiterate their calls for Congress to do more. I think when hospitalization capacity is reached, I think you're going to see that's going to be the calling card for Congress to, you know, break this impasse. And it seems that the trajectory of the virus is going to force their hand. So there's still, I think, a strong reason to be optimistic for U.S. stocks. But you know, it's just you saw a strong overreaction now, and I think everyone's still going to be hopeful going forward that, you know, we see the light at the end of the COVID tunnel, but you know, we're still not quite there, but it's great news. And I think it's good to be cautiously optimistic though. And you can't really just, you know, expect a one-way direction here for price action.
Okay, so in summary, yes, this vaccine development, this vaccine news is positive and gives people at least a little hope that things might return back to normal, but it's not a clear path to normality, right? Nor is it a short path back to normality. So that will obviously take some time, and in the meantime, yeah, we're going to continue to see COVID case spikes, even what's happening in Vancouver, BC broadly, where I live. We had new restrictions come into place for what they say is 2 weeks, but everybody is expecting them to be in for longer, these new restrictions. And that's unfortunately seeming to be the direction that I see a lot of the Northern Hemisphere going down. So right now, the market's moving higher, this rotation trade out of tech, because tech is the big laggard today. But the safe haven trades, gold, treasuries, they are just getting hammered today. Gold has reached down almost $100 today. Silver has been down close to $2. That's a 4.5% move for gold and almost a 7% move for silver. I know a lot of the gold bugs are saying, well, we're going to get tons of stimulus. So that is the driver for gold. I agree with that, but when you have elections now for the most part behind us, that also causes the unwind of these uncertainty trades. And now, well, we're seeing what happens with gold. What's your outlook for gold from here?
Well, right now, I think you know it's been going into the weekend. It seemed that like everyone was banking on the weaker Biden dollar, which was going to be very positive for the precious metals. And this vaccine breakthrough is a game changer in the short term. I think that you can't disregard some of the violent swings we could see with gold, and this is really triggering you know a massive reallocations for many investors. And I think you're going to see that gold is going to be still vulnerable. You know, you could still see another percent or two, I think, on the downside, but eventually you will probably have those bulls kind of start to scale back in. I think there is growing optimism that you're going to have some strong demand entering the Diwali holiday season and also China Lunar New Year. And there's the stimulus trade is still, you know, despite, you know, these breakthroughs and vaccines, all the major central banks have already telegraphed that they're going to still need to do more. I think until you really start to see, you know, the widespread distribution of these vaccines and that the public will take it, I think you can make the argument that, you know, maybe a third of the U.S. population is really against considering one of these vaccines. So you're still going to have a period where there's going to be some cautiousness, I think, as far as completely pricing in the positive effect of the vaccine. But I think the stimulus is still going to be there. So I anticipate that you're going to probably see that there will still be some demands for havens. And the problem that you're going to also have is that the Biden administration is going to have a very tough go once they're in office. I think that the trade relations are still going to be in a difficult path. I think Biden is going to, you know, try to work with the Europeans in pressuring China. I think you're still going to have some tense moments on trade. And I think that there's still going to be a lot of investors that are going to want to have their exposure with gold as you know, these stock market valuations become extremely overvalued. Because we're still, when you compare everything from earnings season and valuations, you know, it's hard to justify these moves. So I think you're going to see that there's going to come a point where there's a lot of investors that are going to be becoming a little bit overly skeptical as far as, you know, how much further we will go. Because, you know, if we are on the other side of the virus, and if that does signal the possible end of you know, these extraordinary measures that we're getting from central banks, you know, I mean, the great tightening is what will do equities in. And it, you know, for a long part, it seemed like that was not going to be for years. And, you know, the quicker we have that get priced in, I think you're going to be in for some violent moves, I think, once we get beyond this virus. So it's going to be very, I think, an extremely volatile 2021.
So, Ed, any comments on gold and the pullback today stopping pretty much right at 1850? It's, I know, a big move down, but this 1850 level is starting to look like some pretty strong support.
Very, very much so. I think I think, you know, whenever you have gold, you always have to be prepared that you could see, you know, prices have $100 swings on any given headline. And I think what we're noticing now is that it seemed that for the last couple of months we saw gold really trade between 1850 and 1950. There was a, you know, some strong technical demand there, but I anticipate that you're going to probably see that, you know, 1800 is going to be the line in the sand for the bullish case. I think you'll have some technical traders argue that 1784 will be the 200-day simple moving average, but for the most part, 1800 is going to be that line in the sand. I think that it's encouraging to see that people bought on that move to 1850. I think that you're probably going to see that the range bound trading for gold is likely to persist a bit until we really start to see that additional stimulus come in, and that the dollar has a much more stronger weakness trajectory ahead. So right now, I think gold is, you know, 1850 short term. Yes, it's holding. But if that does break, I think, you know, 1800 is going to be where you'll have a lot of that more larger institutional money start to back it.
It really all comes down to when we get some stimulus, right? And inauguration, as I said, January 20th, I don't see any stimulus coming before then. Do you?
I think the only case that we see it and it's growing is if we have these states and local governments start to run out of funding. And if they're not able to provide their hospitals and with all the proper equipment and support, you know, that easily has bipartisan support. So regardless of your politics, so I think if the virus situation continues to go in the direction that it seems it is, that would easily warrant stimulus before the end of the year.
Okay. Well, Ed, we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks for kicking off this very interesting Monday. And boy, oh boy, all this news that breaks over the weekend, we still see some wild swings in markets. And as you even outlined, keep expecting some volatility as we progress into next year. Ed, thanks for your time today, buddy. We'll chat again next week.
Thank you.